Good morning, Pop Chasers, and happy August 19th. Good morning. Oh, you hear that voice again? Who is that? That's Kaya. Hi, Kaya.
Hey, Allison. I feel alive just from Beverly Hills. I'm ready to get into it, but you know.
You guys, that is why Kaya is with me today. I could not go at it alone because last night's Beverly Hills, I know this might sound dramatic. It might have genuinely been one of the best episodes the show has ever had. Maybe the whole franchise.
We're talking about Beverly Hills here. So we went from talking about if Denise possibly hooked up with Brandy being a storyline to some real life shit. And we're still finding out about this stuff as it comes out.
As it comes out, as it happens.
I mean, difference.
Genuinely, at one point on this series, we were wondering who leaked a story about a shelter puppy. And right. Now we are literally talking about orphan people, as Kyle put it. Okay, let's just get right into it, you guys. Today's episode of Pop Chaser is Beverly Hills and Beverly Hills only. I am sorry if you wanted something else, but we can't just gloss over this episode. So buckle up, guys. It's going to be a good one. So let's just start off with we picked up the episode where we left off last week, which was the meeting at Dorit's house hosted by Sutton. And these women genuinely, I mean, there were only like 6 or 7 of them there. You would have thought there were 14 because everyone had 2 different faces.
Yeah, the switch. Oh my God.
The switches. Okay. So basically Sutton stayed true to what she said last week and that she is concerned about being around Erica, not only just because of the legal ramifications, but also image. I mean, she brought up people who have been involved in legal and financial scandals in the past, like Murdoch's, and she is comparing herself to that, which is sweet, I think, but I understand that she is very concerned about image, and this is something that she's thinking about.
I don't want my name in the paper about this.
I don't want to be associated with these crazy stories either.
In a way, Dorit was agreeing with her.
Right. You have to remember that Sutton is old school, old money.
Very old
like
school.
She had this thing about manners last season. And just like when you are on boards, especially with like prestigious schools or prestigious boards, like ballet boards, like she said, she's on all these different boards. They don't just look at you. They look at everyone that you're hanging with. And not only do you film a show with this woman, but you know, you are
you're
calling
friends
her,
with her
your friend.
Yeah.
So if they're left in the dark and something comes out, like it's coming out now, that she actually knew something, it's going to be bad for anyone in her vicinity.
Okay, that's actually a question that I had. At one point, Erica says, there's more coming. But then she says she has right. No heads up on any lawsuits that might come out in the press. And that really confused me because I was like, what's the truth here? Like, do you or do you not know? And unfortunately, and to Sutton's point, the varying stories only hurt Erica. And then that right. Does reflect on the other women. It just does. And people will start to, I mean, you could easily be subpoenaed for just like what you know. If you went right. Shopping with Erica when in Venice or wherever the hell they were like last season, you could very easily be subpoenaed and have them, there could be lawyers asking you about that.
On investigation. Like we see it all the time, especially with Bravo shows. It's like they are combing through the season to find out what is going on, what was said. Yeah. And if you know anything, like you need to literally make it clear that you are not in cahoots with Erica.
Right.
And it's
okay.
Just like Lisa Rinna she's acting suspicious at this point.
It
I don't want to accuse her or anything. I'm just saying that it's just very weird that Lisa is rallying around Erica the way that she's rallying around Erica when they weren't even really like tight like that. So I'm wondering where this sense of strong loyalty comes from. And I understand that people can quote unquote change, even though Lisa Rinna will never
change.
But it's just insane to me why she's so protective, why she's so, I don't know, man. Like, this is just crazy.
It is crazy. And speaking of changing, let's talk about Dorit. So she consulted her legal consultant, PK.
PK.
And boy George.
Don't forget Boy George.
So don't, if and when you are in a pinch legally, just call up PK and Boy George and they'll just tell you, well, at least it's not us. The comment. That's like, listen, the
advice. Straight up.
That's what Boy George said. But Dorit was very pretty like strong in her convictions while at her house with the other girls, except for Erica. And she kept saying, you know, widows and orphans and this and that. And it's like, you know, very vile. If these allegations are true, it's horrendous. And that'll come up later in the episode. But
I don't want our support of Erica to be misinterpreted as support for some of the atrocious things that have been done.
Valerie, you're so right.
Then when we were at dinner, she, as you know, a couple of them said, like, there was no spine there. She did not say at all the same sentiments that she was expressing at her house earlier. And it is pretty, I mean, it feels kind of typical of Dorit, I think, but it's pretty funny to see her just switch overnight almost.
I hope God gives you the strength and the courage to go through it. And please God, we'll be there sooner rather than later.
Not only did she, you know, switch up, but she went as far as to like call Sutton out. And I'm just like,
yeah,
that is very weird because you were kind of on the same page. Maybe not like, I want to not be friends with her. She didn't call the meeting or whatever, but you had that meeting at your house. You were talking about shit with Boy George and PK. A
little disappointed in Dorit because we were both simpatico on this.
And so then when she was like, I hope God gives you the strength to get through this.
I'm like, don't bring God into this, please.
So funny. I mean, yeah, we have enough people at this table, girl. Like, we do not need another one. But I did think it was funny and amazing when at dinner, Garcelle did call out Dorit. And she's like, that's not what you were saying yet the other night. Like, you are literally just completely lying through your teeth right now.
I understand. I think anyone said the other night.
It's hard to watch because I know a lot of people are going to give Garcelle flack for just like questioning Erica about certain things. I've already seen it in some Facebook groups, not going to call them out. But it's just weird that that Garcelle's going to kind of look like the bad guy to some people, while at the same time, it's like if Erica's doing these things on camera, she's saying these things on camera, we have to talk about it.
Yep.
I do have a question. Well, two questions for you. Please. Number one, do you say Coke or do you say Coca-Cola? Or are you a pop person?
Okay, well, so being from Chicago, it is normal to say pop, but having lived in New York for years, I transferred to I'm a soda person. So yeah. If I wanted specifically a Coke, I would say a Coke. I would never say a Coca-Cola, but I understand why Sutton says Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I say Coca-Cola.
Oh, you do? Maybe is it like a southern thing?
Yeah, because you know we have that.
Would
whole
you say
thing.
A kook though?
I would listen.
No, I drove, so can I have a Coke?
A Coke.
Okay. A Coke.
I mean, we needed the levity in the episode and we got it from from not only the Coca-Cola incident, but also Kathy saying she's gonna have a gorilla.
I'm literally ready to have a gorilla.
Have a gorilla. Kathy, have a gorilla. What's that expression?
To have a gorilla. What does that mean?
You know, I'm being dramatic. Like, I'm going to have a horse. I'm going to have a gorilla. I'm going to have a barrel of chickens, whatever. It's just like.
And then she compared it to having a horse. Oh, and I'm just like, I still don't really. Yeah, she said gorilla, but she compared it to having the expression.
But what does that even mean?
But I've heard someone say, oh, don't. Well, no, I haven't. I was going to say, hold your horse. Someone has said, don't have a horse. Someone said, don't have a baby about it. But I've never heard anyone say, don't have a horse or don't have a gorilla. And she explained it and I was still lost. And I just chalk it up to another Golden Kathy moment.
I just love her so much. I like, even at the table, good to prepare.
In the background.
Yeah, it's just so good.
Okay, the second thing I wanted to bring up was the Teddy Mellencamp. I don't know what John Mellencamp's daughter was doing there, but this was the wrong episode to have a cameo. I'm like,
it was so weird.
I'm like, you're taking up precious time. This is the best season ever. And you are taking up literally 7 seconds with your 2-cent opinion. And she said, we, like, collectively as a group, like, girl, you have not been here. So
I totally agree. I thought that was so, it was a weird episode to bring her back for, just to have her say, like, I have to believe Erica, because a lot of us here have lawsuits against us, which I loved. I did love that shade to Dorit, because the camera cut to Dorit immediately. And
very much Victoria Justice. I think we all moment.
But yeah, I agree. Like, when we were talking about how Teddy's not pregnant anymore, I was like, we could be spending this on Erica. So
literally,
let's cut the shit, guys, and just get to the good stuff. Okay, what did you think about, I'm kind of literally going through the list of women and what they, who I thought was like, who brought the drama. We have to talk more about just Erica's technique at dinner. There was little to no. Now, do you read it? Before I even say what I was going to say, do you read the way Erica is approaching the situation as strength, just like the producer was courteous enough to give her?
You've been unbelievably strong so far. Do you feel like you've been strong?
Or do you read it as she's lacking empathy?
I think lacking empathy, because like Garcelle said, she's not mad enough at Tom. And she's not bringing up the people who are owed money. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I agree. I thought it was a really interesting technique to come to that dinner and really double down on Tom not being well. And she really seemed to miss the point of, and she brought it so briefly after Garcelle told her story about her sister. Was it her sister?
Yeah, she said that her sister had something wrong with her.
Yeah, she had like a surgery or something that went wrong and is waiting for money from a medical lawsuit. And for Erica, until that moment, she just did not say, if this is what happened, like, I am shocked. I am disgusted. I want these people to get their money. It took so much to get that out of her. And that, to me, raises a lot of red flags.
What's being alleged in that lawsuit is terrible. And he will have to pay a price for that.
And I think that that's something that a lot of fans have been saying this season is, where is the empathy? Not only just on the show, but even on social media.
In real life,
she was getting on a private jet not too long ago and posting about it. And there are people who are still waiting for millions of dollars who have lost loved ones. It feels like I'm missing so much of this story, all revolving around Erica. And
it's like, I have questions though, because from my understanding, it all went wrong when he had this serious accident that I still don't understand.
3 years ago.
Years ago. So, okay.
And somebody brought that up, and she really, she brushed that off when somebody brought that up too.
Yep.
80 million.
50 to 80 million dollars spent within the last few years though, because she would have to notice, even if she doesn't have access to the bank accounts, she would have to notice that things aren't, you know, maybe not getting paid, or someone is contacting Tom, someone is contacting her. And then if she's blaming this on dementia and Alzheimer's, you know, like that's terrible. That's a terrible situation to go through. I understand that he won't get help, but she married this man to be there in sickness and in health. So if she noticed something and, you know, she's his wife, she could have, this like is a conservatorship situation. They have that in place for when people do suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia. You as his wife should step in and be like, okay, he won't listen to me, but I have to cover his ass and my ass.
Yeah, that's a great point. That is such a good point. And it is weird to me that all of this is coming out when they have their backs against the wall. And I think that for her to constantly be claiming it's because he's unwell, and also that their marriage was horrible and he didn't let her look at the books or anything like that, I have such a problem with it, because if there was one person on this show who has maintained such a, I am, you know, my own boss, I wear the pants in the house.
Right.
And for her to now be coming out with all of these excuses, conveniently helping her story, it certainly is, like I said, just flag after red flag, flag on the field. And I agree. I think that if this was something that she was genuinely concerned about, she would have been figuring out how to take over as a conservator for Tom 3 years ago.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts on, I mean, the way that she got upset with Dorit when Dorit said that she talked to PK, I thought was also very strange because
it's her husband.
I have to ask, like, do you think that nobody's talking about this? Because you're wrong. Everybody is talking about this.
It's all we can talk about.
It's all anybody in your town right now is talking about, let alone the whole country. And for her to like throw dagger eyes at Dorit for saying that she talked to PK, I mean, she genuinely, like, the way she looked at her was shocking. It was
well crazy. That's when Dorit started to back down even more and flip the switch more and be like, oh no, I'm on your side and all of that, because she is scared of Erica. And Erica even asked, are you guys that afraid of me? I don't think that Garcelle's afraid of her. I don't think that Sutton is afraid of her. Lisa Rinna, the jury is out. I don't think that she's necessarily afraid of her. I think that she may or may not be in cahoots, allegedly.
Oh boy.
Kyle, I don't know if she's afraid of her more than she just doesn't want to get on her bad side. But Dorit, I genuinely think that Dorit is scared of Erica Jayne, because we've had so many moments of Erica Jayne basically like versus sunning Dorit. Her most iconic moments are basically telling Dorit to shut the hell up. So it's a very weird dynamic between those two. And I think that Dorit is using this situation to kind of try to get on the good side of Erica Jayne. But I don't know if you want to be on her good side, because once this is all over, it's not going to look well. And hopefully, you know, Erica, maybe we're all wrong and I will be eating, what is that pie that
you're eating? Crow.
Crow. I'm eating crow.
Or you could be eating a humble pie, but I think just to go along with Kathy's her analogies for the day, eating crow. Yeah.
Listen, Sutton said it right. She will be eating crow if she's wrong, but I would rather eat crow later than to support this right now.
So I agree. I do think Dorit is scared of Erica. When it comes to Lisa Rinna, what I think is happening is I think Lisa Rinna is somebody who when she lands on an angle and how she is going to approach something, she sticks to it. And I think last season we saw that with Denise. She just would not let it go. She would not let it fucking die. And I think that she chose her fighter, and her fighter was to defend Erica. And now she is too afraid to back down from that. And she's just going to maintain this argument no matter what, because she thinks that, you know, I don't think it's a loyalty to Erica. I really don't. I think it's just that she wants to be the person who's, I see the good in people and I'm going to just maintain that she's my friend. And I'm like, since when? Genuinely, like, when have you guys really been that close of friends? No. I believe Teddy and Crystal's friendship more than I believe Lisa Rinna and Erica. I just think that we really did witness history. And what
this is going to be an episode that we look back on and it was like, okay, remember when
the Scary Island episode?
Yeah, it's just insane. But did you feel the same way? I know it's been a while. Did you feel the same way you felt when everything was going down with Teresa and her legal situation? Or was it a different kind of feeling? For me, it wasn't all over social media for me like it is now. Yeah. And also, I didn't really understand what Teresa was doing wrong, but this is just, it gives me chills.
I think, so I'm holding Erica to a much higher standard, I think, which is why I'm a little bit more critical of her than I was of Teresa.
Yeah, and the crimes are totally different. Like, in my opinion, what Teresa did, from my understanding, she kind of like stole from banks, and I'm not pro stealing from banks, but I would choose that over stealing from orphans and widows and leaving your husband who has dementia and like filming the show and cursing out people on social media. So
what do you think about the preview?
It didn't give me enough.
But it looks like Garcelle is shining. I think that that's just what we need to take away.
Then Tom.
Sutton, you've earned it. Congrats. Yeah. Sit comfy for the rest of the season.
The turnaround.
I know you won't.
The beat switch on Sutton.
The beat switch. I know she won't sit comfortable because she's going to continue to be a part of this, but I want her to know that she could take the bench and relax. She doesn't need to think anymore. Garcelle is really ramping up and I love to see it. I think that she is just truly going to shine for the rest of the season. And I think that I'm already kind of preparing myself for and being upset about is how she will be villainized for attacking Erica.
She already is.
I know. And I just picture at the reunion, I'm already frustrated with how all of the women will be dead silent while she has to answer for why she was critical of Erica. And it makes me just really frustrated prematurely, but.
Yeah, I heard that Erica, not only is she going to the reunion, but she is upset with Crystal and Garcelle.
Oh.
And feel that they are lying and she wants to tell her entire truth at the reunion.
Erica will not ever tell her entire truth. Ever. And the reason for that is because she legally cannot. One thing about this episode that was killing me was these women were asking the biggest questions in the whole case. Did Tom do it? Did you know? Where is the money? Those are the brass tacks of the questions in this whole messy web. Do they think that Erica at a dinner with some dry ass turkey, because you know that stuff was dry and they were overselling it with how that food was, is going to say, you know what, Kyle, thank you for asking. I actually did know. I hid the money in an offshore account and my husband doesn't have dementia and he stole it all. This is not the jinx. There's not going to be a hot mic moment. I don't know why they keep asking those questions.
It's not going to be something where she can come in and just answer all the questions because they're legal.
But I think it's important so they can say that they asked.
I know.
And
I know.
Can see on camera. But I would absolutely die. I also want to know how Erica is really like affording her lifestyle right
now.
Well,
it's because she drove to Christmas though.
Oh, okay. That's just like, you know, I can buy a house if I stop eating avocado toast. So she drives now. So therefore she can have a $2 million
Coca-Cola because she can't have one glass of champagne. My frustrations with last week's episode were completely squashed this week because they actually sat down. Not one person had an article in front of them and they talked to each other. And that's what I want to see. I want to see the conversations. I don't want to see them recapping an article. I just wish that they had cameras on them when we watched Housewife and the Hustler.
If they could just release that even online.
Get them a screener. Get them the screener, Hulu or ABC News, whatever, whoever produced it. Give them a screener so they can have the knowledge of it. Because sometimes when they talk about it, I'm like, wait, did they see the screen? Did they see the show? Like, there are certain moments where I feel like we're looking into the future a little bit.
Yeah. And I know that Lisa Rinna is going to pull, I didn't even watch that crap. But it's like, no, we need to get them in a group and let them watch it at Dorit's house. Like we had that meeting at Dorit's house.
Yeah. And you know, Sutton is sending an invite and getting popcorn for everybody.
As she should.
As she should. Kaya, anything else on Beverly Hills that you can think of that you want to touch on?
I hope that this was John Mellencamp's daughter's last appearance. I don't know, that like really pissed me off for some reason.
That really did upset you.
And don't do me like that. I already said it. But yeah, like, and I like to see the home dynamics of like Garcelle opening up about her son's, you know, struggle. And my last sentiment is that maybe I'm glad that Lisa Rinna doesn't have a storyline, because if it was, it would be centered around Emilio's relationship with Scott Disick. And I absolutely don't want that. But keep going, Beverly Hills girls. You're doing amazing, sweetie. I've never said that before, ever about Beverly Hills, ever. Just want to, you know, and this is,
have you ever said that?
Ever.
Oh.
Ever. Never.
Wow. I mean, I think that says it all. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Pop Chaser, a very special episode. I had a deep dive that I wanted to tell you. It doesn't fit in with this at all, but I just want to say mazel tov to Colin Jost for having a baby.
I did not know that Scarlett Johansson already had a 6-year-old.
And yeah, with her ex-husband.
Who knows, because you are a Jost host.
Look, I Google him every day and I finally got some news to share, to spread with the world. So congrats to them. And their baby son's name is Cosmo. So on that note, we will let you guys go. You can check us out on thedip.com. Use promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. And I'll be back tomorrow with more headlines. And until then, cheers.
Bye.